Hello, and welcome to Creative Applications Incorporated. Crap. If you would like to speak to sales and marketing, please press 1. For careers, press 2.
Walk on stormy seas. I am strong.
Ahoy hoy, welcome to Crap. You're speaking with Ray.
Oh, hello. I'm just replying to an ad I read about some positions that you have vacant.
Well, you've actually come through to sales and marketing.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure that I pressed...
No, don't apologise, I'll just pop you through.
Okay, thanks.
You raise me up. Ahoy hoy, welcome to Crap. You're speaking with Ray.
What? Oh. Hi, yeah. Apparently you have some positions vacant.
You've come through to the right place.
Oh, good. I'm just wondering what the application process is.
We call it the craplication process, mate.
Huh?
Oh, it's just a little joke.
Oh, yeah. So how do I apply?
It's crap lie.
What?
I'm just kidding. You just need to come in for an interview.
Cool.
You like jokes, mate?
Oh, yeah. Just wasn't really that funny.
What? Well, I'll tell you what's not funny, mate. You. You're fired.
Fired? But I don't even work there.
Sorry, mate. Gotta go.
Ray, we've got our first interviewee waiting. What's going on?
Nothing. Just a phone interview.
Oh, great.
No, not good. Not great. Not a good applicant. Not a qualified person.
How could you tell?
They were horrible. Just a horrible person in general, really.
What? Well, what did they do?
They hate people. They hate our people.
What?
Yeah, he said that. He said it on the phone to me.
What, they hate startups?
Yep. Hate startups. Hate them.
How could you hate startups? We're building the future.
Yeah, well, they hated siblings too.
Even step-siblings?
Especially step-siblings.
Well, that's outrageous.
And poor people? They said they hate poor people.
Oh, what a jerk. What did you say?
Let's just not talk about it anymore. Didn't you say we have an interview?
Yeah, we better go, actually.
So, Mr. Blake, thanks for coming in.
Hey guys, I gotta tell you, this is a huge, huge honour. Super pumped to be here. Crappy to be here.
Oh, thank you very much, Mr. Blake. We've mastered the startup world ourselves.
Sure.
Yeah, but what do you think makes you the right type of person to work in this startup landscape?
Look, super hungry. And when I say super hungry too, like obviously quite literally, I don't have a job, so... Physically hungry for food and success. Food first. Hopefully that gives me the sustenance to then be able to turn up for several days in a row, weeks, months, years, and then achieve success after I've had that initial meal.
Sustenance,
but I'll definitely take a sustagen if you've got one, or any other kind of protein or vitamin-based milk drink. Just anything, really, I'm a bit dizzy.
What about Sustain, the cereal, Sustain?
I'd love Sustain. I know it was developed at the AIS. I used to be able to run a good 5K, not anymore. I'm focusing a lot more, obviously, on the tech world now. I'm more of an indoor creature. But, I'd take a Sustain. I'd take a corn flake. I'd take a wheat flake at this stage.
This is all good. And we've got a pretty well-stocked kitchen, so I don't think that any of that will be any trouble, actually.
No, it's not the main focus I want to work here, but that'd be a real sweetener, obviously, especially if it was Fruit Loops. I'm a really interesting mix in the sense that I'm very headstrong and an amazing leader, but at the same time, if needs be, super malleable, a real piece of clay that could just fit into whatever you've got.
I'll tell you what's a really interesting mix. Just right. You know, just the right mix.
Yeah, over the years it's got a little Sultana heavy.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I like to think that I can be the Sultana of a company.
Very good.
Come in, sweeten things up, and a juicy treat to have on board.
All right, well, we've covered cereal, so I think we'll probably move on from that just for the second.
You're the boss.
So you went to university. You started performing comedy at university. Have you ever had a proper job?
Well, comedy was more of a ruse. Does it say there? I don't know if it says there on the sheet that I did do science for a little bit at uni. And so really I've contributed a lot to the science world in the sense that I stepped aside and gave another child my position at university, a child who's no doubt gone on to achieve huge things. So that's why I'm applying for the job, really. I'd like this to be you guys sort of recognising the contribution I've made to the science world by giving that other kid, whoever they may be, my position, and now maybe I could get back in on the ground floor. There are many, many jobs. I mean, I was a fabric and textile consultant for a while for an international firm.
Which one was that?
General Pants Company. I sold hoodies, but all made of fabric, all different.
Oh, but in a customer service capacity? Is that what you're trying to?
I would consult with the general public on what pants would be generally right for them, and yep. I would be able to provide those pants.
Can I just ask, who is General Pants?
Decorated, a highly, highly decorated clothing statistician and strategist. And before he came along, there was barely a pair of pants to be seen. After he conquered the world, here we all are wearing pants.
Yep.
So that was a real buzz. And I can take a lot of the stuff I learnt there and I can bring that to crap.
Well, that's exciting for us actually, because we're all about teamwork, and you're well versed in working in a group. Obviously, everyone knows you from your comedic duo.
If there's a position there where I can just do all the heavy lifting, and another guy floats along and takes the credit, then I'm your guy.
Oh, tell me about it. I know what that's like.
We've all got a lot in common, don't we?
So look, you're part of a duo called Hamish and Andy. Can I ask how did you come up with that name?
Yeah, it was tough. Obviously, we did a lot of market research, and you got to give the public what they want. Before we were Hamish Andy, we were Gerard and Stefan, and it didn't move the dial.
No, there's a bit of a cultural sting in that one. Yeah,
it felt a bit German. Was the feedback we got, which I thought was a bit racist, but quite a lot on a lot of the surveys that were handed back in, too German was the box that was ticked a lot. So we adjusted it to Hamish and Andy.
You met Andy while studying at university. You were, as you mentioned, studying science and commerce. That's science and commerce, was it?
Commerce, science, and Andy was just doing commerce art, so commerce nothing, basically, and just cruising through on his good looks.
Did he finish that degree?
In this day and age, with the world sort of moving as fast as it is, who can say if anyone starts or finishes anything? Yes, he did.
Okay.
For the record.
Thank you.
Damn.
So on your Wikipedia page, you wrote, Hamish Blake was voted the Comedian of the Year in 2007 and his compatriot Andy Lee was placed 14th. Blake also came first in television's Most Powerful Celebrity for 2009 and Lee came 19th.
Did you have to write Andy's positions in there?
Yeah. Are you always reminding him that you are the funnier one?
Right, well, you were making the assumption there that I do my own Wikipedia page.
Yes.
And now in this instance, it's correct. It's a correct assumption, but I just warn you for other candidates that sometimes it isn't done by another person. It should have said, did it say we're the most successful, best comedian?
The Ether Corporation. Where is that?
Interesting. I thought it was actually voted by FHM. So I'll have a look at that because I wrote down that it was either FHM or Zoo. So I was surprised. Who's the Ether Corporation?
Sounds like a made-up corporation to us, much like the rest of the Wikipedia page.
But let's not dig too deep. Let's just take away that I took out top spot and let us remember that, was it 2007?
Yes. Yep.
Very hard year for comedy. You got to remember back then, there were so many more names on the comedy scene than there are today. It would be so easy to take out Ether's number one these days. But 2007, really fierce year.
Yeah.
Really fierce year. Yeah, Butch McGibbons, you had Giggles Murphy, you had all the big hitters, and I was able to take out top spot. That's probably why Andy was a bit down the list, because of just how fierce it was.
Well, speaking of top of the category, you've both been nominated for a Gold Logie.
What did they?
Three times.
But you're the only one who's actually won a Gold Logie.
You should put that on your Wikipedia page as well.
I managed to take out the gold. I have my friends at the Ether Corporation to thank for that, the shadowy overlords at the Ether Corporation who were able to pull strings and make moves on my behalf. So I've probably forgot to thank them on stage at Logies, but, you know, you're up there and, God, Sean McAuliffe was giving it to me and it gets overwhelming. You can't thank all the shadowy corporations that are pulling the strings of society. All in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. What are the Logies exactly?
What are they? The physical statue or the event itself?
Oh. Well, who are they really?
That's who are they? The Logie is a panel of 12 industry veterans. They're all about 150 years old. No one's ever met them. You're not allowed to look at them in the eye, but you know they're there because they're behind a screen and you're meant to give them a lamb or a chicken as an offering. So that's who they are, and that's the easy part. What the night is, very, very different every year. Basically, it's, you spend a lot of the night having conversations with people who are talking to you with their mouths but looking elsewhere to try and find someone potentially more famous to get a selfie with.
Do you ever lend your Logie to Andy?
Yeah.
No way. That's a hard no.
Every second Sunday.
Because it's sort of like feeding animals at the zoo. You give it to them once, suddenly they get a taste for it. They want it all the time.
Yeah,
he scientifically lost that vote. We all were there when the government said, okay, Logie's voting is now on and it's illegal not to vote. So we all remember lining up at state schools and town halls and going, you know, taking the family down to do the Logie's voting. Everyone in Australia voted. It's a complete and accurate snapshot of who's the best.
Mm.
He didn't win and he can't have the trophy. Now, that's just the facts.
Fair
enough.
Thank you.
Look, you and your wife started an advertisement that came under a bit of criticism. It was labelled as quite sexist. And from what I've read, it was an underwear commercial where she slapped you on your backside. And pardon my language.
Yeah, we actually read some complaints about it. One said that the ad clearly objectifies men.
I know, I've set the male rights movement back 50 years now. That's a cross I have to bear. That's a mistake I made. It wasn't my wife's fault at all. I'm the one that had that cute bum swinging around there. It made it impossible for her not to smack it. She was meant to just dack me in the ad, which we thought was a nice intellectual way to shift sportswear. We thought it was a very tasteful way to do it.
Yeah.
She took it upon herself to smack me on the bum.
Okay.
Now, is it my fault for having perfect glutes? We'll never know. But I have to cop some of that, and I hope I haven't ruined things for men everywhere and accidentally, you know, caused us to be still not taken seriously in this world as women get all the top jobs and women get paid the most and have all the rights and just look at us as sweet pieces of meat.
Yep. Yeah. I can't even walk around the office sometimes without getting whistled at and yelled at.
And that's on my conscience. You know, we were so close to having equality. And I've just mucked it up for men.
I am going to insist that both of you don't wear those bike shorts in the office, though, because we've spoken about this before, right?
Classic male oppression.
You do have a few mentionable tattoos. And apart from the frog smoking a joint on a skateboard, which one do you regret the most?
We don't know that there's marijuana in that cigarette. Let's be clear on that. There's no way to test it. It's an ink smoking. It's a rolled up tube of flammable paper with something in it. If this frog is as stoned as you say he is, how's he riding a skateboard? Mm. You know what I mean? That's a very difficult machine for a frog to operate in the first place. I certainly can't see him doing it if he's ripped.
Why is he riding a skateboard anyway? He's got so much, you know, he gets quite a fair bit of distance just on a jump.
I like to think that puns and innovation are, I mean, I do like to think that puns are one of the main things here at Crap that you'd be looking for. I mean, the name itself, Creative Apps, Crap, seems to indicate that you do enjoy some wordplay. We had Pink, the singer, on our radio show, and the segment idea, Get an Ink with Pink, came up. And when you think of something that rhymes that perfectly, sacrificing a permanent scar on your body for the rest of your life is a pretty small price to pay. So as she interviewed us, we said you can tattoo whatever you like, and she chose the frog on the skateboard smoking something, which is still under investigation.
Mm-hmm.
All the others I absolutely love. The Olympic rings I've got on there because we played 24 sports once in a weekend. I've had Olympians check it out. I've talked to them about it. They don't think it's offensive. We just took different paths to get the Olympic rings on our arms. Some of them fought very hard to represent our country, and they also acknowledged that I had that difficult weekend. There's absolutely no hard feelings there.
So you did the segment Getting Ink with Pink. What about this? Have you thought about this? Getting sinks with Pink. And you go around.
What does that
around,
even mean?
You go around buy sinks, kitchen sinks with
You're
Pink.
You're right. I wouldn't quite. The S is troubling for me. You could do Getting a Sink with Pink, but you couldn't do multiple. I'd draw the line there.
I just don't think that would be good radio.
You could do Having a Think with Pink, but I just think, again, for radio, you do need it to be a fairly verbal or at least audio heavy.
Or even just mildly interesting is probably part of it.
Mildly interesting is sort of one of our, it's one of our mantras. Right? Yeah. Like at the start of the day, we all pump each other up and go, remember, guys, let's try and make this mildly interesting if we can. We don't always hit it.
Personally, I love the show and I don't think you need all the gimmicks. Just, you know, it's just good to hear entertaining people chat. It's
and just, get ink.
Yeah. Mm. Before we finish up, you have a show called True Story where members of the public do your work for you by telling amazing stories and then actors act out the scenes.
I hardly think the members of the public do the work for us. Who's nodding their head? Who's saying thanks for coming on?
Yep.
It's not the members of the public. That's me. Mm. And that's our job.
That's true. I've got a really good story. I think it'll be really good. It happened to me yesterday, actually. I went to the shops to buy an ice cream and I went to pay and I realised I had a New Zealand $1 coin. And I just gave it to the guy and got away. I got the ice cream.
Oh, jeez. Boom. Immediately I'm thinking, what's the history of that New Zealand coin? Who's at the shops? What's this guy's life like? We got half an hour.
Exactly, yeah. And
I mean, we'd ask you non-stop questions and we'd stretch that for half a no worries.
Yeah, and who knows what happened afterwards? Probably the guy.
Probably you do, but don't tell me now. Why did you come on the show?
I just ate my delicious ice cream, but who knows what happened to the shop?
Oh, all sorts of things could have been happening in there. There might have been a bloody marching band in there. That's what I'm imagining.
You need to make your ice cream days less than twice a week.
Oh, you've done more than one ice cream. See, now we're looking at a potential series. Now we're looking at a sub-show.
Season two, yeah.
There is something in that, and I'd like to talk to you after this about making a sub-company so we can copyright that immediately.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, we shouldn't take up too much more of your time, but we do really appreciate you coming in. You obviously spend time with some pretty exciting people, Hamish. You've got a lot of famous mates. Sonny Blake.
How do you know him?
I met him a while ago.
Yep.
He was doing a nudie run.
Yeah, right.
Was he? No, he was nude. I first met him when he was nude. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but I do remember going, oh, jeez, this guy's nude. What a maniac. And we've been mates ever since.
He is huge on the internet.
Yeah, he's online a lot. Mostly Bitcoin stuff, but he sometimes jumps on social media.
Mm.
Yeah, no worries. All right, well, look, thanks so much for coming in, Hamish. Just one more thing. Do you have any app ideas?
App ideas?
Yes.
Did you want to, like, have I got the job?
Well, look, we're going to have to go through the,
we've got to have a chat with each other.
Have a little chat together and stuff
like that. Yeah, obviously you can understand the reluctance to, you know, to give you my gold.
Yeah.
All right, I legitimately, what about this one? You know, I've got a situation on my arm that might not...
ever go away.
Well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I like to think that if you throw enough ink at the problem, you can come up with a good enough a fix for a tattoo. Here's my app. It's called Tat's Not What I Meant, right? And you take a photo of your tat. It gets uploaded to an international community of tattoo artists and you pay a small fee for them to come back with designs that are way better than the tattoo that you've got. So they just sort of draw over it on the screen, submit it back to you, and you're like, yep, that's the one they bid. And you go, that's the one I'll use to get rid of my tat. And you just flick them $5.
Okay, and then you have maybe like a Tat's What I Mean, like a...
Like another sting at the end
or something.
Or another rap, Tat Is What I Meant, and that's where you upload your new one.
Okay. So it's, so that's got room for growth then.
Towards two apps for the price of one. Yeah. That's not what I meant. Yeah. That is what I meant. And we actually go fairly well in Ireland now that I'm saying it out loud.
Absolutely.
Like it does seem, I did have one other one that I was just thinking of now, like, I thought it was a joke, but is this an app where, like, you get, it's your phone, but your phone becomes the mouse for the computer. So it's called Mouse. And you just move your phone around on the desk and it's like you've got a mouse, but you don't have to buy a mouse because your phone's the mouse, saving you the cost of a mouse.
I like the idea. The name is not catchy.
Phone mouse.
Like maybe lap rat.
Desk.
Desk rodent. Weasel.
The mouse app. The mouse.
And now I see why you guys have such success and I am merely a scholar of you. The mouse app.
All right. Very good.
Well, look, thank you very much for coming in today.
Could that work?
Mr. Blake, you know, we really, really appreciate your time and we'll get back to you with the results of your application.
Yeah. Hey, no worries. Totally happy to come in. Just one final thing I'm going to say is I'm not officially giving you that mouse idea. I think I'm going to keep that one for me. All the best with, though, Tat's Not What I Meant. That's 100% yours. The more I think about the mouse one, the more
I came up with the name, the mouse app.
You didn't come up with either of those.
Being in a
words.
Space is inspiring as well, which
it
is our
feels
space
like it was a group effort. It was a group effort. Kind of like
don't
Hamish and
if
Andy.
If you're allowed to have a cut.
Okay.
That was
thank
not
you so
a group
much,
effort.
Hamish.
That was my idea.
Hamish, Susie and Ray. Hamish, Susie and Ray, the mouse app.
Can I have some cereal?
Do we really have to read this?
Yes, we have to read it so we get more subscribers.
Okay. Have you enjoyed listening to this crazy podcast with these crazy guests? Oh, this is so horrible.
Fine, I'll read it. See what crazy adventures you guess you get. Yeah, this is horrible.
Subscribe.
Your next interview is with Jen Fricker.
It'll be our best one yet. You also play the guitar. What's your favourite note?
I quite like D. I'm sorry. That's just my favourite. I love D. It's quite a thick string.
If you like
D.
It.
Yeah.
Mm.
Ray, played by Ray Badgerin. Susie, played by Susie Youssef. Written and created by Ray Badgerin with additional writing from Susie Youssef and Kyron Wheatley. Sound designed by Marty Peralta. Produced by Kyron Wheatley. Executive producer Tom Wright. Positions Vacant is an ABC Audio Studios production.